The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
I got a mole removed, and I'll remove you too if your colors also change. So gross.
The real tortured poets department is just me every time I have to come up with one of these.
Oh no, you guys, it's Andy's girls. Can I tell you? So my episode, whatever, I don't know. I woke up essentially one day and I looked in the mirror and I said, huh, that has changed an awful lot, seemingly overnight. Just a little mole to my, I'm just like touching where the band-aid is, to the left of where I am. And so I was like, oh my God, it like really is a different size, color, everything else. And I Googled and then I was like, oh, okay. So like last rites, like just like, it's just like Googling literally anything is terrifying. Couldn't stop thinking about Teddy. And then I went emergency appointment with my derm like same day, and she books out months in advance and they're like, come on in. And she looked at it and she's like, okay, it's not what you think it is. She's like, you thought you were dying. I was like, I did. She's like, you Googled? I was like, absolutely, I did. And so she said XYZ, she shaved it off. We don't think there's an issue, hopefully, knock on dust.
Did she do like the freezing thing? Like shaved
no,
it off?
No, she That's just, so, she injects.
Like
she,
a Parmesan, like a cheese
like
grater?
A fucking cheese grater. No, like Sweeney Todd, like slices it off.
Oh my, like with a mandolin.
Yeah, but the worst part is that like she said she saw something. It's so stupid. It's actually maybe too gross for me to like, it's not even gross, but and I was just really upset she didn't videotape it, because I was like, from a aficionado, doctor, call her Dr. Pepper.
You're like, this Dr. better not Pipple. Be going on TikTok.
I was like, if it is and you don't tag me, I'm going to be really upset. So I was a sort of, in a weird sociopathic way, unhappy that I didn't get to see it while it was happening. But she just slices it. So there's one on my nose that she sliced and diced, and one on my neck that she sliced and diced. So I have a little bandage. Don't wow. pity me. Don't join the Patreon, you know, out of pity. Do it out of absolute glee. But it was a weird, and we did talk about Teddy. We talked about Teddy. And I think Vicky came up too. I don't remember how, but no. My derm knows who Teddy.
Okay,
is.
I was gonna say, does she watch these shows, or are you just like mid mole removal, being like, so there's this lady.
We do sometimes talk about Housewives. She is like proficient. I don't know how much of a real viewer she is, but I did talk about the Teddy melanoma of it all, because genuinely, like when you go through something like that, I haven't been through it. knock on table again, but I really don't anticipate that I will, but. Knock on table once more.
I don't know if I've ever seen you with a sunburn.
No, I don't do. Why would I do? First off, I melt. My insides are curdle. My neurosystem is like, you're going down.
That's
with the
fair.
Ship.
Yeah.
But also, why would I do that? I have very pale skin. I've always been perfectly happy to have pale. I don't want the, you know, burn of it all, I guess. That's not really my salt burn journey. That's not really what I want to have happen. But we were talking, I mean, like the Teddy thing, she has informed people in a bad way when it comes to All In, but in a helpful way when it comes to like checking your moles for melanoma and whatnot. Don't
Absolutely.
You think?
Yeah, it's very the Veep storyline when Jonah Ryan becomes like a testicle.
What was
check them, don't neglect them.
And I mean, our almost future president. Maybe future. We'll probably get a version of him one day soon. Listen, it's Andy's girl. So excited to have a return guest in the pod. You know him as director of social for entertainment at Betches Media, host of the podcast Mention It All, and creator of Bravo by Betches. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Dylan Hafer, also known as Sweet Baby Dill, SBBD. How are we?
We're well.
I do also want to acknowledge that I did also mention all in. So while there was a moment of we were saying nice things about her, I did also say, and she started this horrifyingly unsafe and dangerous business that acts as an eating disorder factory.
Is she still doing that?
Yeah, she is.
I feel like
nothing has changed.
I guess, wait, actually, like, I, even from my Bravo account, I don't follow her anymore. So, like, I don't really.
She blocked a lot of us during the carrot era.
Doesn't really come across my my timeline too much, but I feel like now she's such a podcast queen. I don't know how she has time to tell people not to eat.
So, okay, I guess this happened in the last week or two or something. They announced they're doing like 18 other shows. The Eds have a show.
Yeah.
Emily Simpson has a show. I think Teddy has her own show.
Teddy and Emily have a show together.
Oh, okay. And then Tamara has another new one.
Tamara has a Traitors podcast right now. And then they have the Jersey Jays, Jackie and Jen Fessler. That's a 2T spinoff. And then Marisol and Alexia's podcast, Ay Por Favor, is also on their little iHeart imprint. So they're, I think they had, not all of the shows are brand new, but they sort of like just recently posted that they now have like 2T's, like they kind of just grouped them together for the first time in one place. And the Emily Simpson one is new and confusing.
Why is the Emily, what are they going to talk about on the Emily Teddy pod that they're not already talking about their pod?
I think I saw an Instagram comment where Teddy said it's like not going to be Housewives recaps, but I'm pretty sure their first episode was a Vanderpump Rules premiere recap. So I'm like, okay, like tomato, tomato. I don't know though. I mean, I assume they've only had one or two episodes. I don't know what the like typical content on that show is going to be. I mean, I wouldn't know what the typical content on 2T's in a pod is unless people were like fucking tagging me in it. So
I have listened to a couple episodes of 2T's in a pod, but that's, I mean, a couple is probably a max when it comes to listening in full. I did tune in to listen to Teddy's response when Kyle and Mauricio both, when they announced that they were separating and her response was like, I can't talk about it because it's too close. So I'm going to, you know, pivot to Tamara discussing it. And I just kind of thought to myself, isn't the point of your, I mean, I get too close, but isn't that sort of the point of this? And also your harshest critique against other housewives is they don't talk about this stuff on a public platform.
Kyle's barely willing to talk about it on the show that she's already talking about it on. So I don't know.
Okay. Can we have this conversation?
Let's.
Can we have this conversation?
I'm here.
So
the mic is on.
Allegedly. I fucked up some stuff before we started recording. Dylan got to see me like noodle around with equipment being like, I don't know if this is right. Maybe people will hear this. Maybe they won't. Anything's possible. Okay. So Kyle has been doing a fair amount of press of late where she has talked about how disappointing Dorit has been for her as a friend during the season by raising Mauricio stuff and talking about it in a way that made Kyle feel uncomfortable. And also that she says that Dorit's encapsulation of their friendship of like, you're one of my best friends and now you replace me with this new person who's come into your life, that that's unfair and sort of a level of manipulation because they weren't ever that close. Mm. What's your response to all of this?
Well, I've been feeling this season, like with the Dorit and Kyle friendship, I have kind of felt that thing of like, even if they're less close than they used to be, do we really care? Is this like a travesty? If like, is Dorit and Kyle's friendship some Housewives institution that I'm supposed to be like upset at the potential loss of? Because I just don't really feel it. Like they're seen at the end of this week's episode, I was like, okay, yeah, these women are like friends, like they're, you know, they've been in each other's lives for a while, obviously, like in the context of the show they're probably kind of the closest that each other has. But I'm like, I don't feel this like heartstring where I'm like, wow, Dorit must really be hurting because her friend Kyle doesn't need her as much as she used to. I'm like, okay, you're like 50-year-old women living your own journeys in life, like whatever. But I think with the Mauricio thing, I do feel like there's been this weird kind of like one step forward, two steps back this season, where it's like, even at the very beginning of the season, Kyle was already talking about how it's been this tough time for her and Mauricio. You know, they've been going through a lot this year and have felt this big disconnect. And then she seemed so reluctant to kind of like continue talking about it. And now that we're in like 15 episodes into the season, the fact that they have this whole big ceremony in Spain where they're supposed to be like, you know, talking about all the stuff that they're going through, and she like purposefully chose not to share it with the group. And then even, you know, it just, it feels like we're at the point where it's like, it obviously wasn't trending in the direction of you and Mauricio like patching things up and being like perfect again. So it's kind of, I don't know, I just feel like we're getting a lot of like breadcrumbs, and I wish we could just sort of like talk about it a little bit more. But Kyle, I mean, whatever, obviously I know it's like a fraught situation when you're like debating whether or not your marriage of 27 years is going to survive, but I don't know, I'm like, I feel like we're kind of in the same place now that we were at the beginning of the season in terms of like what's going on with Kyle and Mauricio, and I'm like ready for the like bombshell to drop, I guess, at the end of the season.
So Candy just announced that she's not returning or is taking her own pause from Atlanta. Mm. What do you think Kyle's future on the show is? What do you think she wants it to be?
I think that Kyle is at a point in her life where it seems like, or at least it seems like, she wants to value her, like protecting her peace maybe more than she did in the past. Obviously she's been through, you know, a real roller coaster with her sisters, and she seems to be like more invested than ever maybe in kind of protecting that relationship. Like, you know, now that she and Kathy are back on speaking terms, I'm like still puzzled by why Kathy was at the reunion, but whatever. And then, you know, in terms of what's happening with her marriage, she's talked about wanting to leave LA at some point and like spend more time in Aspen, or, you know, just kind of like not LA. I don't think, it's really hard for me to imagine, though, Kyle like choosing to walk away from Housewives. And maybe that's just because she never has up until now. Like, maybe it's one of those things where until it happens, it will feel like something that is hard to imagine happening. But like, I don't know, with Candy, it just feels like she has so much other stuff going on. And I don't say that in comparison to Kyle, to be like, Kyle's a nobody with nothing else to look forward to. But I think with Candy and the fact that they spent so long waiting to figure out what to do with Atlanta, it makes sense to me that she is not somebody that's going to sit at home for, you know, 8, 9, 10 months plus and just kind of be like, well, you know, whenever they say they're ready to start filming, like I'll, you know, put everything on pause and be ready to jump back in. Whereas, you know, with Beverly Hills, Kyle has never really been in that position. Like there's been kind of like a more consistent timeline, but I just like, I don't necessarily believe that she is at the point yet where she would just fully make the choice on her own to walk away.
Yeah, that's a really solid point. I feel like with Candy, it's like genuine scheduling of like, I'm going to sign this commitment to do this thing. I'm not going to wait anymore. And with Kyle, I think it's like this sort of like spiritual kind of, you're at a crossroads of, do I want to continue doing this thing? Is this the thing that I need to do to fulfill me? And or maybe just like, is the benefit of doing this outweighed by the downside, by a lot of people talking negatively about my marriage, who I am, whatever else? I mean, I think that's probably a struggle for a lot of long-term housewives. I'm sure Lisa quitting was not, obviously LVP was not, you know, an easy decision for her. I think she reached the point where she was like, I can't move forward. I can't and don't want to move forward with these people. And I wonder if Kyle will ever reach that point.
Yeah, I think it's with Candy, and also with, I think Lisa Vanderpump is an interesting comparison, because Lisa, when she left at that point, Vanderpump Rules was already a major thing that she has happening every year. You know, she has her own, or at least, you know, restaurant and hospitality business that she's, you know, pretty involved with. Mm-hmm. With Kyle, it's like, I think she has other stuff that she can do, but she doesn't have like a business that is her thing that she does all the time. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if she wants to go after more acting work, if she wants to get into something else, she could choose to do that. But also, I could see a future where, you know, this year or in a year or two, Kyle kind of just like retreats from public life a little bit. Like, if she wants to go live in Aspen and maybe go to Nashville and see Morgan perform and do whatever, I'm like, maybe you just don't really want to do the hustle and the game kind of at all. Like, I think Kyle's demeanor when she talks about it, which of course this is when she's doing press, so maybe this is like a false you know, we wouldn't be talking about this probably if she wasn't doing press, so it's a little bit LOL to be like, maybe she doesn't want to be in public. But like, I think that it doesn't feel like, oh, Housewives is so crazy, I want to go like my own route. It feels like, oh, I want to kind of like not do any of this anymore.
Yeah,
but then I also think that she likes it in different ways. So, and if she and Mauricio get divorced, she's talking about how she has no clue what she's signing.
What the fuck was that?
You know, I mean, as I do think there's a chance that Kyle is kind of like being a little bit unserious in that sense, that she's being a little bit sarcastic and like
flippant, intentionally. Yeah, flippant.
Like intentionally flippant, that she's like, oh, I mean, I sign whatever, but like, I also call the lawyer and whatever. But I mean, I don't think Kyle is like, obviously she makes plenty of money doing Housewives and whatever else she wants to do, but like, she's not like a billionaire on her own. So if they end up splitting up and she loses access to some amount of capital, then maybe being on Housewives is still really appealing.
Well, the interesting thing, I think a lot of people thought this at some point, myself included, of like, you know, the people separate in different ways, and divorce, especially if you're a high net worth couple, is not inevitable, especially if the process of like splitting assets, it becomes, mm-hmm. and properties and everything else becomes so tenuous, or maybe puts one person's like buyout or business dealings at risk. There are high net worth couples who split and like sort of divorce in name only. They don't go through the process of the legalities. They just decide to live separate lives, which I honestly could have seen with Kyle and Mo. And then Kyle went on Jeff Lewis Live recently, and Jeff asked her that. He was like, essentially, you know, I know a lot of couples who do this thing where they stay separate. And she said, no, I don't want to do that. If I know that I'm no longer going to be with someone, I want to divorce. Like, mm-hmm. I want to move on, which I was honestly really surprised by. And it does make a person wonder about what we're moving toward here, because at every possible turn, she might not be telling the cast, but she's telling us that Mauricio is not able to give her what she needs, and he is unwilling to do the work. And both of those are important points, like his potential inability, but let's not remove the active choice of mm-hmm. him not supporting his wife. I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Right. And I think it was on this week's episode that she kind of put it probably the most plainly that we've heard her say, where she's like, if there isn't an effort made, then our marriage will not continue. And it's also interesting because I haven't been, you know, keeping up necessarily with all the press she's been doing lately. But I remember in the fall, like it happened at BravoCon and maybe a couple other places where she would kind of like interchangeably use the term separated and divorce, and then sort of like correct herself and be like, everybody thinks I'm getting divorced, but like, I don't know, I just like said it. And it's like, that would make me think more that she was sort of viewing separation as like sort of the same thing as divorce, and like, we're just not going to actually do the paperwork. But it's interesting to hear her, I guess, like clarify that those two things are not sort of interchangeable in their situation, and that there is a question mark of whether the separation could turn into a divorce. Because I don't know. I mean, it's interesting because, yeah, this season we've seen a few scenes of them together kind of like at odds, mm-hmm. but we haven't seen a lot of them like, quote unquote, like working on their relationship. It looks like maybe next week there's going to be a scene like that where they're talking about therapy or something like that. But I don't know. It has felt for most of this season like they're kind of stagnant. And I think that's partially why the storyline has felt a little bit stagnant to me, is because it's like, okay, so if you're just not communicating, but you're also not putting that much effort into communicating better, but you're also not making the decision to just like end things, like, I don't know. Okay. But then there's kind of like not enough happening on the rest of the cast to like take the attention away from it. So,
well, I think the difficulty when a marriage is sort of unraveling on TV, especially within the Housewives universe, is like the stakes are obviously huge. Like that's a big fucking deal. That mm-hmm. is a fracture that has a ripple effect, especially if you have kids. But in many ways, regardless of you have kids, like it's just it. This person who I literally made a legal contract with, but also took a solemn vow that we would be together forever. I mean, that is the death of your idea of what your future would be and potentially even your present. Like there's a lot there. But if we're not, if we're still at the point where we're like, sort of talking around this, I do think Kyle's giving us a window, but it doesn't, it feels like the stakes here are how to deal with the aftermath versus like, are they going to get divorced?
Yeah.
It just kind of, it affects the storytelling a little bit, which isn't me suggesting that like Kyle should be like hysterically crying, but it is also to acknowledge the reality here is that there is to me a sense of the inevitable, which is so fucking weird, because if you when their rumors first started about them, I didn't believe anything. Then we started to kind of get more and more, and I started to feel uncomfortable with it because it just felt like a lot of noise.
Yeah.
Plus the Morgan of it all. And now I'm like, and I can't believe I'm even saying this because they felt like an institution. But now I'm like, I can't see them back together. I don't know that they should be. I don't know there what was, Kyle would be sacrificing in order for that to happen. I don't want her to.
Yeah. When you talk about that sense of inevitability, there was a scene maybe like halfway through the season. It was before they went to Spain where Kyle was talking to Kim about, I think one of Kim's kids was getting married and they were talking about Kyle going to the wedding. And Kim was like, well, I assume you're not bringing Mauricio to the wedding. And I was like, you do? Like, because at this point, it's like, okay, they're not technically separated as far as we've been told at the time of filming. And so it's like, okay, so clearly you've had some conversations with Kim where she just knows that you're, you know, at a certain point of disconnect, let's say, that you don't think that she would realistically be bringing her husband to this like family event. And that was like notable to me and like not examined at all on the show. I think it's tough because most of the women on the show haven't really been clued in to what's, you know, going on with them. So I think it's tough, like what you're saying, where it feels like there's this inevitability and it's kind of just this like understood thing in Kyle's world, but then the rest of the cast hasn't been given any information, or like, you know, there's been maybe some like little allusions to that it's been a tough year or something like that, but that it's like, okay, like if we can't talk about this in the group, then there's only so much kind of, I don't know,
well, the thing I remember from that scene is Kim saying that statement, posing the question, which was pretty loaded, and Kyle pivoting strategically immediately to the whole, oh, you're talking about how I will do if Kathy is there, that she really avoided the heart of the matter. And she, I think, completely understood what Kim was saying, but just, you know, navigated around it to suggest that she was really speaking about Kyle's relationship with her other sister and not Kyle's relationship with her husband.
Yeah, I don't know. I liked seeing Kim this season, though. I thought that Kim's couple episodes where she was around were really nice and really kind of like the best I've felt about Kim being here in a long time. So it was, you know, take the good with the bad, I guess.
Yeah. And I just the Dorit of it all and Kyle of it all and Kyle walking this line of like these people aren't being respectful about what's happening with my marriage. They need to be better friends is just, God, it's like, I love Kyle, but I just think it's so disingenuous. You know, the show that you're on. I understand she has the right to feel hurt, but it's like, you've said and done so much worse with other cast members, and to put so much of this on Garcelle and Sutton. Maybe I'm just exhausted because of everything that they went through when Tom Girardi, you know, we found out was a monster. So at a certain point, I'm like, okay, how much of this is their responsibility? And at what point are we going to really see the frustration that you have toward these women redirected about Mauricio?
Well, and also, I think it's a little unfair because obviously, you know, they have their own interactions with each other, but then there's a whole production crew that we don't see on the show. And so I am 100% sure that whoever Kyle's field producer is and whoever the story producers are talking to the rest of production and being like, okay, so this is what Kyle said. So that's what she's going through. So then she's meeting with Sutton. So then maybe Sutton, whoever's producing Sutton, should like be like, hey, like, you should talk to Kyle about like what's going on in her life. And like, that's how these shows work. Like there's a lot of behind the scenes production conversation happening. There are suggestions being made. There are like, you know, some are maybe lighter suggestions. Some are like, hey, you need to talk about this. And so I think it's a little bit also weird to be like, I mean, at the weed dinner, it's like maybe Sutton wasn't like the most, you know, tactful she could have been with how she brought stuff up. But also it's like, it's a little silly to know that you're talking on camera about something and assume that the other women aren't going to at least get some like vague suggestions that maybe they should ask you about that thing, even if you haven't told them.
Yeah, Kyle always gives herself the benefit of the doubt. But when is that ever really given toward Sutton or Garcelle? I just don't see it in a way that is, you know, it's a pattern. And it's just a little frustrating because, as you said, Kyle understands how the show is made. She helped make the show. So it's like, we're going to poke holes in this universe when you want us to feel a certain way about LVP. But when you want us to feel a certain way about Sutton and Garcelle, those holes are patched up real quick, where this is just a docu-series where we're watching a couple friends go to lunch. Like, there's more happening here in your reactions, in the ways that you communicate with each other that are elevated. And a part of that elevated realness is getting to the heart of the matter. And, you know, if Kyle isn't going to introduce it, that's all well and good. I understand it. But the sort of like demonizing other people on the cast for doing their job, I understand what Kyle isn't going to like it. But to suggest that they're doing something untoward is annoying to me.
Right. Like they're not bringing up some really scandalous thing that happened that obviously isn't supposed to be discussed on camera. They're not bringing up like something about somebody's kids or a financial thing, or, you know, on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, every damn season, there's like, I have your, you know, IRS records and shit. Like, Kyle wouldn't last a day.
Kyle wouldn't last an hour. Are you kidding? Neither would I, by the way.
Somebody would be like, go pay your taxes. And she'd be like, how dare you?
Yeah, they really kind of fuck shit up. I mean, for real. And then on New Jersey, where people are like throwing platters of food at each other and whatnot. You know, there's different ways of fighting.
Can I ask you, though, sticking with Beverly Hills? So we just wrapped up this Barcelona trip.
Oh, love. I want to go back to Barcelona and also the episode.
Okay, yeah. So I'm not like totally out on this season of Beverly Hills.
Whoa.
No. I have mixed feelings.
Sharp words.
I have mixed feelings.
Sir.
But I felt like this trip was like so forgettable.
Not what I thought you were going to say.
Like, we returned in the middle of an episode. We go to a commercial break and then we're just like jolted back to California. I always hate, I talked about this on my show this week. I hate it when the trips end halfway through an episode. I'm like, no.
I get that.
The trip should be its own capsule collection. We should be in Europe for 3 to 4 weeks. And then we should, you know, return next week.
I get that. That makes sense to me.
But I just feel like this trip, I haven't even been to Barcelona.
Oh,
but
it's fabulous.
But knowing what I know about Barcelona and hearing people talk about Barcelona, I don't think this trip did Barcelona justice.
I couldn't believe they didn't go to
Sagrada Familia.
Yes. And I went into the like little place where you had to like have stuff clothed and whatever for people. It's fabulous.
Like, they were staying at this Airbnb, which I don't know if that was product placement, but they literally were like, Airbnb in this place. And then,
I mean, it was, I thought that was great.
It was great.
Yeah.
But then it was like, they had like half a day. They went to some church that's not the Sagrada Familia, some other church. They went to like a beach. They went to their like flamenco dinner.
They walked by knickknacks.
They didn't get to shop.
No,
all
we need
Garcelle
to see them
and
shopping.
Kyle wanted to do was shop. But it kind of felt like going through the motions in a way, but then also the Sutton, like, Merce arc just felt like it took up so much oxygen on the trip for me. And it's not that I don't think it was interesting at all, because I think I like seeing Sutton open up more about kind of like stringing together these events in her life. I think is really, it gives us a lot of context for kind of who she is as a person and what she's been through and kind of how she got to where she is, because she certainly is an interesting concoction of traits. But I think, like, in terms of these last few episodes, it just felt like there wasn't much going on to me.
Okay.
And we left the trip with, like, even less going on, I felt like. Because it's like, okay, Crystal and Anna Marie kind of are fine now, I guess. Mm-hmm. And also, Erica is, like, a little bit peeved at people not loving that she kept the earrings. But then, like, she doesn't seem like she's going to make it a big thing. And it's just like, okay, like, is there anything? Are there any storylines to follow here? Where's the drama?
You don't think that Erica is making a big deal of the fact that people aren't apologizing to her? I think that she's staying on that train. She's riding it.
I think she's riding it in like a, it's at like a low hum. But yeah. I don't think that she's like, she's not like coming in with the tornado because people, it just, I don't, nothing kind of escalated.
Yeah, I think she's thinking about Aspen an awful lot, which he also mentioned, of like, don't, you know, I don't want to remember what I did last season. Right. But that's, I think all of Garcelle's confessionals just kind of answer any feedback that I would have, which is, we're putting all of this on how dare these women suspect Tom versus how dare these women prioritize compassion for the victims, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't think Erica gets it. And I genuinely don't know that she ever will. Like, if she says it out loud in one sentence in like a very sort of not deadpan, but emotionless manner, I don't know that I would believe her. Like, I don't know that she really truly understands that her upset at the women, sure, it could be about additional pressure they did, but also in the, you know, much different stakes than the Kyle of it all, these women are also doing their jobs. There's this thing that's happening that's getting national attention. This man was a huge celebrity who also used his celebrity on the show to further engage in criminal acts because he was positioned as this like god amongst men. Bad shit happened. These women are going to discuss it. If you're on the cover of LA Times and they're doing deep dive exposés into all of this, including whether or not you knew and your part in this and the part that your celebrity played in this and the amount of money that was spent every year and the way that you talked about money and were like fetishizing being rich in a certain way, the women are in the show are going to talk about it. Would be ludicrous. It would be if like Sandoval fucked Rachel and then the next day, you know, Sheena's like, what are we having for lunch? Like, it wouldn't.
It would be negligent.
It would be negligent. And I think the Girardis know a little bit something about that. So when Erica's holding on to this, like, it's not that I don't understand what she's saying. I just simply don't agree with a lot of it.
Yeah.
And I'm helped in those moments by having these confessionals that support an inconsistency, because I just don't know that Erica has capacity to understand that when the women are talking about the victims, they're not doing anything wrong. But also, you can acknowledge, as I think Garcelle did as well, like the fact that there was an impact and she felt like she wasn't being supported. I think the women can acknowledge that. But I also don't know whether or not Erica deserves an apology. She wants them to say, I'm sorry. Yeah. But I'm like, when have you ever asked that of Tom?
Oh, yeah. I don't think she deserves an apology.
She's riding that train. It's like, yeah, it might be at a low hum. She's not screaming, I don't give a fuck about anyone but me. But you can see she's laser focused on it. And I don't begrudge her for that. I just strongly disagree. And I don't think if the women apologize to her for a certain extent, it's like, I need more specifics on exactly. They might be apologizing for her feeling bad.
Yeah.
But when we talk about ownership, we can't skip to the women being responsible when we haven't really engaged with Tom.
Yeah, I don't, you know, when I said that, it's like, I don't think that that's something that should be happening necessarily.
Yeah.
It's more like I'm looking around the room and I'm like,
what's going on?
What could be a spark here? And it doesn't,
I'm glad
really,
it's not this.
It doesn't really feel like the women are engaging in the fire making.
Well, I think also a part of it is that the trip was not long enough. So it's like, of course, we're going to focus on Merce in a purse because there's not. And also, can we just sidebar and talk about Erica knowing like everything about everything? I love that.
Because I'm like, yeah, that's my favorite composer, actually. Yeah, I've been to Egypt.
The only thing she truly fucked up was Brooklyn, which I don't think she understands is a fuck up. But all that being said, you know,
she's like, ah, yes, I've heard. She's like, I've heard Beirut is like the Los Angeles of the Middle East.
I mean, it's like not working out. But the other aspects of it, was there too much focus potentially on Merce and that kind of dialogue? If the trip is 3 days long or something, yeah, an awful lot of this is going to be on that. It needs to be a longer trip. We need these women to settle and have more time with each other, I think 24/7. But also, I say that noting, I found all of the Merce stuff really meaningful. I really did. And it just makes me sad because there's a lot of connection during those moments between Sutton and Kyle. And to know that they're at the point that they are now, it's just sad to see them being able to seemingly support each other here and not later when I think the stakes are a lot smaller. Or maybe because they're focused on Kyle, there's no way to win.
Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravo-holic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today. In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly, Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has Hormone Harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages. It's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, Kyle and Sutton have an interesting dynamic. It feels like they very, like, selectively choose to, like, love and care about each other, that they'll have these glimmers of moments where, you know, with Sutton's experience with her father and Kyle's friend Lorene, like they really seem to value their shared connection with that, and that it seems genuinely meaningful to both of them to be able to have that connection.
Yeah.
But then it's like the second it's about, you know, Mauricio and how Kyle got a new piece of jewelry, it's like it's almost like they like flip a switch and just kind of like don't quite see eye to eye.
Yeah.
But I think with the with that ceremony that they did with, you know, Sutton with the ashes and the other women kind of taking turns releasing things, it was like Sutton, we had so much build up to Sutton's like release at that ceremony. And I thought that it really was emotional. And the, like I said, the way that she tied together her friend Merce and her father and finally sort of letting go
of her divorce,
what happened with her marriage.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the death of her marriage.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like, I thought all of that was, it was like kind of poignant.
And it was, but not kind of. I thought it was.
Yeah. And like, as much as it was like, LOL, Merce is in the Ziploc, like, I thought they kind of like brought it home in a way that
was one
that worked.
Yeah.
But then it's tough because for the rest of the ceremony, it's like, you know, I mentioned that Kyle, you know, she had some nice things to say, but then she also specifically didn't want to share about what was going on with
Sorry, not to cut you off, but like, I disagree with what you said earlier about the fact that she was pivoting away from Mauricio. I don't think that ceremony had anything to do with Mauricio. I think if she had mentioned her potential relationships stuff with Mauricio, it wouldn't have felt natural because she's talking about Laureen. Like, I think,
yeah, I suppose
I think that takes up more than enough space.
Yeah, I guess in the context of that ceremony, you're right. But I think it's more like in the sense that she's been spending how much time with these women and still is like choosing not to share
that. I understand
what she's going through
of
in
course,
her day-to-day life. Yeah. So you're right. But then it's like, then we have Crystal talking about the situation with her brother, which we've heard about. I have mixed feelings of like how much I, you know, whatever. It's a thing
buy
for
it?
Her.
What do you mean?
Not buy it, but like how much I care. But then
okay.
Anna Marie gets up there and she's like, I know that I come off really strong and like I really have my shit together. But, you know, there's a lot that I'm still working on. And I'm going to put that in the water. And it's like, okay.
But also she hasn't been around these
women.
Thank
you so much for sharing. But the thing is, like, and I know that she has said that she like filmed a bunch more stuff that they haven't shown. Mm. Yada, yada, yada. When it comes down to what is being presented on the screen, it's like, all I know about you is that you are obsessed with Sutton's esophagus,
yeah,
and that you maybe implied that you were a doctor when you weren't.
And that you're an 8.5.
That you're an 8.5 across the board. And so it's like, it's tough because I just feel like, I still just don't understand why they felt like they needed to bring a housewife on halfway through the season. And I don't think that there's been anything that really has made it seem like a good choice. And I'm looking for excitement somewhere, mm-hmm. and I'm just not quite finding it. I don't know. It's just,
I mean, she's a flop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, she's still, you know, the dinner I was like, all right, here's some other shit that we can talk about. Like, I was into that.
The way she like brought back up what Erica said, but like completely phrased it in a different way. I was like, thank God Erica like picked up on it because she's like, no, oh, the thing that you were saying about the thing the other day. And I'm like, Anna Marie, we got to carry the bone here.
I know, for real.
Because that's like an effective way in sometimes when you're like, wait, so I wasn't around when this was happening. Can you talk about that again? Like,
yeah, the bone collecting on Beverly Hills versus the charade of it all. Bone collecting on Beverly Hills is sort of tag team. You know, it's a relay.
Yeah,
no one really ever carries it for very long. They toss it to somebody else. And maybe that's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it can be effective sometimes. But also sometimes it's a sign that nobody kind of just like has the nerve to really bring it home. I think it's tough because I don't want to hold Housewives shows to a standard where it's like every group dinner should be screaming and every trip should be a nightmare, chaos, unraveling fight. But it just feels like we're coming back from this trip. And I'm like, I know that there's going to be Kyle and Mauricio stuff at the end of the season. I know that Erica's in Vegas rehearsal mode and good for her. But like, what else?
Well, I mean, the trailer.
What else is going on?
The trailer for next week, I was extremely into. Like, Erica's in her best, like, wife of a lawyer, you know, sort of Chanel ensemble. And they're talking about her feelings. And they're talking about, I think, a lot of the Tom aftermath. That, to me, I'm really fully, I am completely fed with Beverly Hills this season.
I'm happy for you.
I know, but I also feel bad because I feel like I'm kind of in the minority on that, but I just find it interesting. And some of it I find infuriating, but from a content creator perspective, and honestly, more importantly, a viewer perspective, like I feel like I am watching something that is interesting to discuss. Like I don't know that I've ever had this season a single episode of Beverly Hills where I'm like, it was a nothing burger. And maybe I've done and said that AGs would honestly have a better memory than I would. No, truly, because I'm
complaining about it all week.
And that's entirely possible. And Lord knows I have dragged Anne Marie to like hell and back, and deservedly so, one could argue, and I'm that person arguing it. I'm fine with it. I do understand the like, should the trip end mid-episode?
I mean, get that's like a personal foible.
I mean, it's like, I understand that feedback, but I also think like more time should have been invested in the trip. Maybe it was a scheduling issue, but that's not really on us to take, and yet we have to deal with it. But I also thought that ceremony was really meaningful. I thought what Garcelle said was really meaningful. I like that these women were getting along. I like that Erica being a drunk mess wasn't actually a mess. It didn't go to a dark place that we've seen on New York and other franchises. It was still like an interesting, the end result was different than what some of us might have anticipated. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I do feel like this group, it feels like this kind of just occurred to me, but I feel like between Erica, Crystal, Garcelle, and Sutton, I feel like that foursome actually feels like kind of a good little group.
It is.
Whereas where like if they wanted to do a little bit of like a
reshuffle
for next season, like I think you could get a lot of mileage out of starting with those four and adding a few people in, maybe a couple faces we've seen before, maybe a couple new people. But like I've definitely seen some chatter of people being like, have we seen enough of Dorit? I don't feel super strongly in one direction or the other.
Friend of.
Kind of same with Kyle. I'm like, if she wants to leave, I'm okay with it. I don't think she like needs to get fired, whatever. But like, I don't know. Yeah, I think there is a sense that this group feels like maybe a little more gelled than they have some seasons in the past, where it's like a little bit like, we cast a famous person and then we have Lisa Rinna, and that's like, I don't know.
And the nice thing about that foursome, and this is going to sound so much worse than how I mean it, is that like Sun's always going to find someone that dislikes her. You know what I'm saying? Like there's always going to be someone joining the group that might find her, that might, because she can be a lot, you know?
And she's going to say something that comes off the wrong way. She's going to put her foot in her mouth.
Right. She's going to freak out about Magic Mike and not, you know, not being asked to dance or whatever the situation
she
was.
She wore pants, Sarah.
I know she wore pants. And she brought up all $200 in ones or whatever. I mean, she was fully prepared. But I feel like that's helpful. Like we're always going to get some friction because like Sutton inspires it. And God bless.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's almost always good on a cast of an ensemble show like this to have someone who's like a little bit weird. And I think that Sutton is, I mean, obviously she is like, you know, rich and can hang with these ladies, but like in that kind of way that you were just talking about, it's like she has a little rough edge, and I think that is helpful.
Yeah, and I think when
she has something to get snagged on.
Right. And I think that like often Kyle and Dorit fall into this thing of just kind of focusing on that and making fun of her for it versus being a little bit more tongue in cheek. Like when they make a joke about Sun, it feels like the joke is always on Sutton. You know what I'm saying? Versus like some sort of friendly, collegial kind of like we can joke with each other, but there's love there. There's always something underneath when they're talking about something that makes it feel kind of passive aggressive.
Yeah.
But I do also appreciate when I'm watching a show and I feel like the cast is watching the same show that I am, which, not to pivot entirely, but I mean, Lisa,
that's the name I thought you were gonna say.
I mean, the tail end of the episode, but also the beginning and middle, and also last episode, I'm just watching her and I just think like you're just a spoiled brat. And at the end of the episode, when I think that she's finally getting it, because she's giving me active listener eyes when Kiki is talking and saying, you're not the only one who goes through challenges. Like I'm going through some real shit, and maybe there's a reason you haven't heard about it because you're not asking. Like, you don't know the name and names of my two kids. Like, that's a real fucking problem. I think that Lisa's getting it until she opens her mouth and continues to make herself the victim. And then I'm just like, so thankful that in that moment, seemingly everybody else in the room, I mean, Julia, I don't even know, but everybody else in the room gets it and is like, Lisa, you're full of shit. Like, I'm so thankful that at least it's not split where people are pretending that she's saying something smarter or doing something smarter than she is, which is nothing. She's not doing anything that I find empathetic in this stuff because she's completely throwing Kiki under the bus.
When Larsa Pippen is telling you,
you done fucked,
hey, I love you, but that was out of pocket and I had to say something, it was probably a roll out of pocket.
Okay, I understand that. And like, LOL. But also, Larsa has said stuff that's been spot on multiple times before. I know that she's also...
Oh, yeah. Like,
a mess.
Larsa is somebody who, like...
She gets it.
I think that she is, like, has wild blind spots,
yes,
sometimes.
Yes, 100%.
And can be very, like... dogged about, yeah, when she is like, when she thinks she's right about something, mm-hmm, but she also isn't stupid, and she's really not stupid, and also she isn't like completely out of touch from reality. I think that she is out of touch in some specific ways,
from accountability,
yeah, out of touch her from own. accountability, sometimes out of touch from how she treats her friends, mm-hmm, but I don't think that she is just like completely in space with no kind of understanding of the world. And for somebody like Lisa has had, obviously the last 2 years in Lisa Hochstein's life have been tough. Mm. And she has, you know, dealt with a lot.
And a lot of it's played out in the press. He's been really, yeah, manipulative in the press.
It's been extremely public. Yeah. She has dealt with, you know, kind of a barrage, yeah, of negativity. And, you know, she's stressed about how her money situation is going to work out. She's stressed about what's going to happen with her kids, with her living situation, all of that stuff. And I think that this cast has been extremely understanding of all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think that over the last two seasons, she has faced not that much pushback on anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, earlier this season, obviously, when they were on that Palm Beach trip where, you know, Adriana has a Google alert for her name and people are asking about this stuff that's happening, I know that she felt like people were being really, you know, overbearing and rude and pushy. But then her response to that was pulling a stunt where she shows up in her housekeeper's car. And so it was like, it's these moments where it's like, maybe there have been times where your cast members have been, have crossed a line or been, you know, sort of rough with you. But then she always kind of responds in a way where it's like, well, you had the sympathy vote and then you kind of pissed it away. And I think that this trip in Mexico, it's another one of those scenarios. And now they're kind of piling up where it's like, nobody is discounting the fact that it's really stressful, that you have to decide once and for all whether you're going to sign this settlement and or go to court, or, you know, if there's going to be some last minute demand from Lenny. That sucks. It sucks that you're dealing with that, but that it does not give you carte blanche to just like be a dick the whole weekend. And I think that there have been a few different instances where it's like, my girl, you gotta reel it in. And I think that especially on this Mexico trip, there have been these moments where it feels like kind of her like true colors as a person sort of showing through, like, you know, the way that she was talking about the houses and the dogs and all of that.
And
it's
the
like
chicken.
It's like she can say that it was misconstrued as much as she wants, but it's like that. No, we all saw it.
Yeah, her actively saying that, like, Kiki, you're manipulating the situation and saying things that I didn't say. No, Kiki is saying exactly what you said. And what you meant, it was abundantly clear to everyone. And you're not listening to her when she's saying that she saw herself in, mm-hmm, the people who are residents of those homes. She saw her upbringing. And when you are making fun of them or just speaking in a way that's incredibly belittling and rude,
and elitist that she is going to feel like in some ways you are speaking about her, and that frankly, regardless, you shouldn't be speaking about people in that way. And for her to kind of come back to that and be like, you're misinterpreting what I'm very clearly said a number of times, but also don't you understand what I'm going through? And also I can't even say anything because it's going to be used against me. Well, yeah, when you say something, it can be used against you if you say the wrong fucking thing, like repeatedly.
Yeah, the whole like trope of housewives disagreeing about whether or not something was said that happened on camera, and then we roll the footage and someone's right and someone's wrong. I don't begrudge someone when they're like, I didn't say that, or like, I don't remember saying that, and then it turns out they did. Because to be honest, it's like, who cares? They're filming a lot. They're probably drinking. They're, you know, stuff happens and you don't remember every word you say about somebody or how you phrased something. But it's in a specific scenario like this, where it's not that Kiki is saying like, oh, you made a comment about the dogs, and Lisa's like, no, I didn't. It's Kiki saying, the way that you were speaking about this made me feel, as somebody with this experience,
diminished
this way.
Yeah.
And for Lisa to say that Kiki is just so wrong about, you know, the way that she's portraying what she said, and the characterization of what she said, it's like, they're not actually arguing about whether Lisa made a comment about the dogs or anything. It's like, Lisa, it really feels like Lisa is kind of, she's almost like, I hate to use the word gaslighting, but it's like, she's telling Kiki that she's wrong in a way where she's absolutely not.
She's acting like a child, and maybe she was treated like one in her marriage, but that's not on her friends to bear. You need to grow the fuck up.
Yeah.
And if you are behaving in a way that's inappropriate and rude, you can be in a bad situation. But like, I don't even know if Lisa on a good day is going to be able to take critique. So if we have seen a record of behavior where you're not taking the note, then someone is going to give it to you in a stronger way. And I was honestly surprised when Alexia was like, yeah, what you were doing was passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. And Lisa saying in confessional, I was just trying to make light of it and trying to move on. First off, motherfucker, Kiki did apologize to you, if I remember correctly. Kiki went out of her way at least two times to be like, let's just kind of move forward. You never did that with her. And you keep referencing this stupid juice box. And I'm sorry, I don't know how I would have behaved, but also because I didn't want to like fall in the water. So I don't know how I would have behaved if I was like, you know, in that boat at that time. But I can guarantee you it would have been at least at Kiki's level, if not like level plus, level plus, level plus. And I don't know how Lisa would have responded to that in that situation. But Lisa was the aggressor. Lisa repeatedly was like, you want to tell me to stand up? I'm going to stand up higher. I'm going to give you a little pout. I am inviting you to have a response. And now she got the smallest. I thought that was kind of a nothing burger. This person is like tossing something your way. She wasn't trying to hurt you in any way versus your repeated actions, which are intended to hurt her back. Like, you're trying to seek revenge by being passive aggressive and talking about her in a way that insinuates she attacks you. And I don't know that Lisa is smart enough or has capacity or the emotional maturity to understand why talking about a woman who is a Black woman and describing her in a way that feels connected to violence is completely inappropriate and based on and triggering for Black women based on a really ugly racist trope and stereotype. Like, I don't know. And I'm pointing to my head right now like it's Lisa's brain. I don't know that Lisa has the access to understand that can be triggering, because I think she's so insecure about having to say she's ever sorry for something. But it's like, it's enough now.
That's what I was going to say, is that like, part one, I don't think that's what she meant. But part two, I don't think she would care even if she knew.
And we don't know how she meant it. What she meant to say. Sorry, she might not understand the history, but she's very clearly telling us that what she intended to say was that Kiki attacked her.
Yes.
And honestly, it's ludicrous. It's
like we watched footage.
It's so stupid. And the thing that's going to annoy me is I think everybody else gets that but her. And I'm already thinking ahead to the reunion where it's like, I'm going to have to deal with Larsa like tripling down on, yeah, Gertie. I might have like posted on MySpace and like Friendster that like Gertie was diagnosed with cancer, but I didn't do anything wrong because there was a camera crew nearby. So like, I didn't take out anything and she's going to be fine because I'm also a doctor in my free time because I watched ER. Like, I don't, that's already going to be a lot. That this shit is going to annoy me. Because Lisa can genuinely call herself and identify as the victim of someone whose husband left her and has been incredibly emotionally abusive and manipulative and everything else. And she's dealing with the other woman. Now the other woman's engaged to this man and she's being kicked out of her house. I understand all of that, but that's not the band-aid for your other instances of like really shitty behavior. And I'm going to treat you like an adult, which maybe is something you haven't experienced. Maybe you've had the privilege of not having some, maybe because you're surrounded by people who are yes people and whatever else, but like you need a strong no. You need a really strong no.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you need a boundary.
Maybe that juice box was a boundary. I mean, honestly, and also like, I don't know the last time I had a juice box. I wasn't really raised in a juice box family. We didn't have juice boxes.
We weren't big into juice boxes. We did like,
but I want one.
Capri Sun sometimes.
I didn't get Capri Sun either.
Wow.
What did I even get? Water? Like what happened to me?
Did you ever do
orange juice?
Would you have like a bottle of juice in the fridge? Like a jug? Ever?
I mean, we had Tropicana. Yeah. We also had, so Jewish, but we had a seltzer man who came to our house with like a little, it sounds like I was born in the early 1800s because I was. And I assume that, I don't know what happened to that company, but it was so wonderful that he would come every Wednesday and drop up like a crate of glass bottles, old school seltzer. We had old school seltzer delivered to our house.
Yeah, so I'm drinking a Spindrift right now, and I think they've put glass bottle seltzer out of business.
Apologies to my ancestors, honestly, but yeah, we didn't really have soda. Maybe that's why my diet sunkist addiction took over as an adult because I was just trying to catch up and even it all out.
My parents, for a while when I was growing up, would drink caffeine-free diet Pepsi, and I'm like, why was that the choice?
You know what? So you know, I'm like going through some shit, whatever, and I was just back home in Rhode Island, and. You know, there's some stuff going on, but I opened up the door to our Levette in our house, and I saw at least a dozen bottles of Pepsi, and I thought to myself, "What's happening here to this family? We have been a lifelong Coke family.
We used to be a proper country.
We used to be a proper Make America Diet Coke again. Wait, what? What happened to us that we have now? Was the Coke not available? You can't just go from." It's like going from Burger King to McDonald's. You are one or the other. You cannot go from Pepsi to Coke, Coke to Pepsi. Well, you can go from Pepsi to Coke if you smarten up. But to go from Coke to Pepsi is tough. That's tough. Just got to say it. Just had to say it. You know, we talk about some difficult topics. And I'm sorry to the Pepsi people. I'm sorry for what you've experienced in your life.
I do think the first 10 or so minutes of this week's Real Housewives of Miami was such a testament to the technical and just brilliance of this franchise. Because when they pulled up at the Island of the Dead Dolls.
The Island of Misfit Toys. Like, what the fuck? Dr. Moreau or whatever.
The fact that, okay, so
Marlon Brando was shuddering.
Obviously, it ends with Gertie puking in a bucket and
electrolytes. You know I'm going to talk about
she
it.
She needed those fluids.
She needed it.
But when we see these women disembarking from the gondola, all of a sudden, Marisol and Adriana, they went to go find a bathroom together. They were clutching each other arm in arm. I'm like, these women have not gotten along in 75 years. And suddenly they need to pee on the Island of Dead Dolls. And they're clutching onto each other for dear life. Lisa and Larsa, they went off to find a bathroom together mere minutes after yelling at each other, calling each other a baby and a bully, respectively. We had Adriana speaking in fluent Spanish to this man about something that happened on this island. I'm like, I was living for it. It was so entertaining.
And saying to this guy, like, this is kind of creepy, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, 100%. Like, people go here to do witchcraft. What?
when he said brujería, and she's like, brujería?
like the fact that this is a WeWork for like some stuff to happen. It's there's a dark, just the fact that they're like, there's kind of a dark energy. So, oh yeah, 100%. People seek that out. I'm like, what is
and then
happening?
As Gertie is like descending is into her, you know, medical situation,
which was scary.
The mariachi band pulls up.
I couldn't take it.
Everybody is like, no. We have to get off this island. Meanwhile, our least sensitive friend, Lisa Hochstein, is like, yay, take the picture of the mariachi band. Isn't this fun? And then when we finally get to the shore and we're literally like carting Gertie into an ambulance, Lisa's looking for her fucking lip gloss and like nagging at everyone, asking if they've seen it because it's the color she wants to wear tonight. And it's like this like truly like Hall of Fame 10 minutes of TV. It's no coincidence that then it ends with Lisa acting like an asshole who doesn't think about anyone else but herself once again. It's like,
she is such a brat.
Right. It's like there are literally like 500,000 things going on in this 10 minutes of TV. Like Larsa's debating whether to take her shoes off on this like dirt path. And Lisa is literally just focused on finding her lip gloss.
I honestly... the episode was so chaotic, which like Miami does chaos better than anyone else in the entire world.
Yeah.
I mean, this is total chaos theory. But Lisa looking for her, I could not believe. And then she was like asking other people if they saw it or whatever.
She's looking in the cooler.
I mean, I couldn't believe your friend in quotes, I don't even know, your cast member, colleague, no, someone who you genuinely do care about is going to the hospital. You know, she has breast cancer, like, you know that any kind of medical complication is really, really complex, and you know, just the stakes are a lot higher at Gertie for many different reasons for what she's going through, including this woman not needing this kind of stress. But mm-hmm. I could not believe she was looking for her lip gloss and didn't just say like, oh my god, my lip gloss, oh well, my god, woman, come on.
And it was very specific that it was like, it wasn't like this is the only lip gloss she could possibly find in Mexico. It's like, she just, that was the shade she wanted to wear tonight. So she's mad that now she's going to have to use a different one. It's
and like, you know, she has other lip glosses. Like, we've all right. been through that. I don't even remember what her lip gloss looked like that night. It was probably some sort of pale, like sort of like kind of buff or like pale, like a blush or pale pink. Everybody will have that. Everybody here will have that.
Right. Go to whatever the like Mexican equivalent of CVS is and
you
buy a new one.
You don't even need to do that. You can borrow. I mean, I know I'm like borrowing someone else's lip gloss, but like you could figure it out
also,
on your own.
I think most of these women travel with glam. Miami is not like a down to earth kind of cast trip group.
Well, Lisa had her hair person who was like injuring himself in those hangers, so I actually did appreciate when she's like, you might die. I was like, okay, well, she does feel some level of empathy for people at times.
Nicole in the ambulance with Gertie was such a wild 180 oh from Anna Marie trying to be like Crystal's nurse in Spain. Because like the whoever from production is like, no, actually, thanks, Anna Marie. We're good. We're going to take it from here. Meanwhile, we're like getting the full ambulance ride. She's like FaceTiming Russell when Nicole's like, OK, like how much do you care about this braid that's on your head right now? Because like it's stuck.
It's coming off.
It's coming off.
Someone's going to chop that off. Yeah,
it was so great. And then like seeing Russell and like I'm like, then I'm like tearing up. And then Russell's like chuckling and Gertie's like, no, what's wrong? And he's like, no, I'm laughing at you. Like, it was just like, it was so good. I mean, like Miami, I think this part of what has been so fun this season, and, you know, they've done this in the past, but it just feels like they're always on, you know, going up a notch. It's like, the range of emotions that can happen, not just within a season or within an episode, but within like one scene.
Yeah.
It just, they give us so many different shades and colors where it's like, Gertie can be going through something that is making me like fully sob watching an episode and then make some comment or some face or some reaction to something that I'm like cackling through my tears. Like it really is like, kind of remarkable in the sense that I feel like it's such a, every episode feels so like rich, like they're so dense in a really exciting way.
Yeah, but I do need to make a request.
Okay.
Which is that at these group events, and we need many, many more group events than mm-hmm. what we're getting, we cannot have plus ones. I cannot take more Marcus Jordan, who was wonderful on Traders and like seems like a great guy. I cannot take him and Jody because it takes the stakes out, the women don't feel as focused on each other and everything going else. It has an impact on the show. I can't do more of it. Like, you know, the irony when there are so many other couples when we want to see more of their lives and in Florida, I'm like, less please. Like, mm-hmm. I just, not in these group dynamics. You can't always have your plus one here. We need to have events where it's just the women talking to each other.
Yeah, I think that's part of why the trip feels so dynamic is totally. Because it's like, you know, they are going to fight and then they're going to be back together and it's still going to be the nine of them. That first night they had that like bizarre art gallery dinner where everybody's like, why are we here? But it was like still so interesting and fun. And I think also one thing I noticed from this episode, and this is kind of like the exact opposite of what we were talking about with the Beverly Hills trip to Barcelona, they cut out a whole dinner from this episode because when they were on the gondola, it was Mexico City day two.
Okay.
And then they were like talking about dinner that night and then they finished that day. Gertie was in the hospital. She was like going to come back, whatever. And then they cut to Pride, which was the next morning.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so then we had a whole day, you know, there was the Pride mm-hmm. celebration, Adriana's performance, which like chef's kiss.
That was such terrible lip syncing. Really not even bothering at points.
And then
she's trying to catch her breath. Iconic.
Right. And then they go into the like dinner club situation where all hell breaks loose once again. But the fact that they sort of seamlessly cut out at least an evening, if not like half a day from the trip, and it didn't feel like there was it like they must have had almost too much to work with. In a way where we were talking about Beverly Hills and it's like, oh, like maybe the Merce stuff was a little much, but if there wasn't anything else going on, then how could they not? You know, it's like with Miami, I know they have this cast of nine women who are all really like showing up and contributing in a way that, you know, is not necessarily the case for every franchise, but it's like, damn, we have it so good with Miami right now.
We really do. Although I would say that it would, to me, make a lot of sense following this trip for someone to take Kiki to tea and have her talk more about her day-to-day life.
Yes.
We need that. We've reached the point. I've discussed this on the pod before. I've had guests disagree of like, we don't, you know, like where I've said, like, I'd like to hear more about Kiki. No, like, because she's doing so phenomenal right now. Not to say that she wouldn't if we get to see that other side of her. But now I think the audience, like, it's sort of required at this point because she's here for these group dynamics. She does a lot. She's like a really, she has this kind of like really energetic personality. Her confessionals are prestige A++ every time. But I think she just deserves at this point to show her more vulnerable side to us. I think we need to see her as a more full person and not someone we depend on for these other moments.
I had that same feeling this week more strongly than I have yet.
When, I hear you.
Because I felt like this week was maybe not the first time, but definitely the most prominent time where she has expressed that she wants these women to kind of show up for her more. And I mean, that happened with her swim week party where everybody kind of ditched, especially Larsa, she was upset about.
Yeah.
And then, so that was maybe a little bit more of like a physical level of like, come to my event. And this time it felt like it was maybe coming from a little bit of a deeper place where it's like, you bitches don't ask about me. You don't seem to care about what I have going on. And I think that with this cast, it's interesting because when they brought back the show in the reboot, for the last three seasons, we've had the same cast structure where it's six housewives and three friends, but the two other friends have been Marisol and Adriana, who not only are they super present on the show, so is Kiki, but we know them. We go back a long way with them. We've seen them
there's a shorthand.
We've seen them in past relationships. We've seen them, you know, interact with the group as full-time housewives. And so I think, you know, the first season that they came back, Kiki was not really as present. Like, we didn't get to know her really at all. And then I think last season we got some glimpses that were really encouraging. And I think this year it feels like she has really arrived within the group in a way that is I think people are responding to really well. And so I really am hoping, I don't know, it's really hard to kind of think about what they might do with the Miami cast because this season has been so strong, which doesn't usually lead to like big cast changes. But I would love to see Kiki bumped up to full time next season if she's going to stay, because I just think it kind of does, because we know everybody else in the group so much better at this point, it feels like Kiki, out of all nine women, is really the one being shortchanged in terms of like, we get to see her, we get to hear from her, but we don't really get to know her. And I everything that I've seen makes me want to get to know her more.
Totally agree. Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah.
I actually have two questions for you. What do we do about Julia? She's doing a lot.
Julia's okay. Well, yeah, I was talking about Julia's like pot stirring effort this week, and it felt just like a little bit random and forced.
Yeah,
but then also sort of like she was. It was weird to me that she presented people talking shit about Lisa in a way that was like, "Oh my God, Lisa, they're talking about you in here," but then she seemingly agrees with what everybody else is saying about Lisa, that she's a, you know, entitled brat, whatever. But then she's presenting it in a way that makes it seem like other people are at fault. And it's like, it's frustrating to me because it's like, I'm like, Julia, if you also think that Lisa is acting like an entitled brat, then maybe you need to speak up on your own behalf rather than saying, hey, you better get in here. These two are saying that you're a brat. Like, it was tough. And I like Julia. And I think that her vibe is really unique in the Housewives world as a whole. And so I think that she's like a fun, different flavor to have on this cast. But I do think that like, in terms of like, maybe Housewives IQ, I think that she's not as proficient as everyone else on this cast, maybe.
Other question. So do you think that the show really will keep? Because I don't think that they should make a single change. Not a single change. Yeah, sure, bump Kiki up. But honestly, or not, just keep her on the show. You know what I'm saying? Yes, she deserves whatever she, you know, like, I want her to be compensated well. I have concerns about that for some of these friends of, because they're so, the show is really dependent on them, and they do really excellent work. So I hope that they're being compensated in a way that provides some sort of you know, like, it just, that's a whole fucking shit show. But also, like, just don't fiddle with this too much, guys, because this is really good. The editing is really funny. They do these little things where it feels like they're almost like bopping heads in the ways that they kind of transition the scenes of the show that feel really fun and dynamic. The show looks rich. The colors on the show, they shoot Miami differently than any other show. They really genuinely do. And it's so good. I just don't want them to fuck around with this too much. And also, like, God, that might, when are we watching the reunion? When's that happening?
Well, they just dropped the looks. This week, I think, was the last episode of their trip. So we probably have, like, I would guess maybe two more episodes and then the reunion.
I need to rewatch this season. Is that too soon for me to be like, I need to rewatch? Because I don't want to let go. But I felt that last season too. I really did. And also, I do just want to say that, like, have I called people cunts before? I mean, what time is it? Every hour, you know? And Lisa annoys the shit out of me. I also really genuinely do enjoy her on the show and feel a lot of empathy for her.
Yeah.
I don't think she's as good or bad sometimes as she might be discussed, including on Andy's Girls. I just think she has so many blind spots and is, she takes up a lot of air in the room, and not all of that is because of the divorce with Lenny, because we've seen her on the show for so long. I speak as someone who's seen this show since the very beginning. I remember Lisa. Lisa sometimes, you know, she not just speaks without thinking, but like her capacity sometimes to understand someone else's perspective, if it comes at the cost of her potentially taking responsibility, is tough. Mm-hmm. That's a tough journey for Lisa. So it's like, I want her to remain on the show, but like, yeah, and part of that maybe is to continue, you know, telling her to go fuck herself. I don't know. What do you want from me? I really do like Lisa.
Yeah.
I really do. I genuinely do.
Yeah.
I want to buy her. I don't want to buy it. I want to be sent her fragrance. What's it called? Like Frisque? What is it? Angel? Oh, no, that's a different one.
Floral? I have a diffuser thing of it. She Do you? Gave it to me.
Did she give you a diffuser?
Yeah. I haven't used it. I smelled it. It smells Lisa-ish.
Does it? What is it? Is it a floral note? We should know this because we have like a whole scene.
It's like a butterfly by Lisa Hochstein. It's like butterfly themed.
Oh God, I hope it. I wish it if you like when you open the bottle. The bottle's kind of rose gold.
I don't have the perfume bottle. I saw like she had one when she came, but it was like she like only had one, so I didn't get it. But
is it called Fly? Fly by Lisa Hochstein?
I think so.
Huh.
And the bottle has like a little like gold butterfly charm dangling from it.
Oh my God, I want it so
bad. It's very Lisa coated. And I truly don't mean that as a negative thing. It just like is.
Okay. I just need to say though, the price point. Have you seen the price point for a bottle? Are you fucking kidding me? This is for 50 milliliters. Have you seen the price point for 50 milliliters?
I don't recall, but I recall having a similar reaction.
We're talking Tom Ford area, like 50 milliliters, 1.7 ounces, $165, 100 milliliters, 3.4 ounces, $225. So I guess you do get some savings with that upgrade, but that is a nuts price point.
50 mil is like a mini perfume bottle. Like I'm looking at your, in the Clawfis, you have a Tom Ford fucking fabulous.
I have a friend 50. Who worked at Tom Ford who gave me but a bottle like, of fucking fabulous.
That's like the small bottle.
And that I think is technically it's empty, LOL, but it's technically retail. It's like, but maybe 300 because it was a more expensive thing. And that's a full bottle.
I was just looking at a Louis Vuitton one and they're...
I'm not buying any of that shit.
No, but I think 100 mil of the Louis Vuitton one is like 400.
No.
So Lisa's is like not that much less expensive.
I mean, again, but also like we're talking about this being a something that she can make money from. The Bravo audience is not spending $165 on a possible joke. Like, and it might be fabulous.
What does La Dame retail for?
Less than that.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like when you look at like the...
This is Dorinda's Berkshire's merch territory that we're in where she sells a mug for like $86.
Like I was expecting her to be more in the like Paris Hilton, Britney Spears fragrance
that
league.
That would have been really
which
smart.
Would have made sense because then if it's like, if it's a gift for like your sister's birthday or like, you know, your friend's bachelorette or whatever who watches Housewives, then it's like, okay, like I can spend like $50-$60 on this like fun, nice gift. But like...
And I know
200 is
that's a lot steep. And maybe she's partnering with really incredible people, but again, who's her audience? We as a community are used to a certain price point, and some of that price point again is for an LOL.
I also this is a me thing, but in the last several years the online like DTC,
what's that mean,
direct to consumer,
yeah, 100%
fragrance thing,
okay,
has become so popular. Like when like Kim Kardashian or like Ariana Grande launches her fragrance, it's like you can only buy it on the website.
Oh yeah,
I need to fucking smell it.
I can't
go to the Nordstrom fragrance counter.
Yeah, at least Skims you can try on.
Give me the little tester thing.
Yeah,
I need to smell the thing. I don't want to spend. I mean, maybe if it's like a little cheapo fragrance, I'm not spending $200 on something that I can't experience for myself first. When the whole point of buying it is that you are going to walk around smelling like this thing for the next however long.
Especially if it's a company where it's like you fucking open that tube of lipstick and it's goddamn final sale. Well, you know. People, how am I supposed to know if it looks good? Like, and you're not sold anywhere like, else.
Perhaps this is a me thing. I'm sure they sell lots, but like, I don't know. I don't want to buy perfume online.
Of course not. I need to try it. That's why, I mean, honestly, that's why Sephora, shout out Sephora, that's why their return policy is like so great. In addition to just like being great, it's so you can fucking try shit on. A lot of companies can't afford it because the overhead of that is tough, but it's also, well, then don't sell makeup. Well, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's tough.
Best of luck to Fly by Lisa Hochstein.
Best of luck. I would love to try it. I would love to smell it. Lisa, if you're listening.
Next time I'm sure
she would respond.
Next
well
time I'm in the
Clawfis,
I'll bring the diffuser.
Can you please? Can I spray it? Can I spray it on myself? I still haven't smelled La Dame.
I don't know. I guess I haven't. I remember I smelled one of Wendy's candles when I went to watch What Happens Live when she was on. one of her Onyi home essentials or whatever.
I got one of those.
I didn't get it. Like, I don't own it. She just was like holding it. And so I smelled it.
I did for a friend's birthday, maybe a couple, several years ago, find Vicky's fragrance on Amazon and you could smell it through the package.
Oh, no.
Like, it was so.
Was it expired?
I don't even know. The sad thing is maybe not. I could have been, but fuck, it was.
Pungent.
It was. Which also maybe fits the brand. So honestly, maybe it was, maybe it was a specific logistic choice. It
smells like sunscreen and vodka.
And hopes and dreams. Listen, Dill Hafer, every time you come on, it's such a thrill. We are going to pivot to tip because there are quite literally three shows that we're going to discuss and taking it personally.
Okay.
Because there is that third one that I mentioned that I do want to just talk about briefly. So for 6 to 9 hours.
Okay.
So we're going to do a little... we're going to do a little variety pack tip episode. In the meantime, can you tell the AGs a little bit about Mention It All, where they can follow you and Bravo by Betches on social, all that and more?
Yeah, of course. So I work at Betches and I host a Bravo podcast called Mention It All. We usually do 3 episodes a week, some recaps, some guests, some other fun stuff. So you can find it wherever you listen to Andy's Girls. Definitely go take a listen. You can also find me at Bravo by Betches, covering all things Housewives, The Traitors. The Traitors is so good. We'll get into it. But yeah, and you can follow me at Dylan Hafer just for other stuff.
Incredible. And guys, join the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod, get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. Putting up a Satchel Spectacular this week about all things Beverly Hills. Would love to get your thoughts on BH, Miami, temperature check on Potomac, all that and more. So slide into my DMs on Instagram with your thesis statement at Dame Galley, or email me an index and a couple chapters at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. and thanks so much for listening, guys. Episode 500 something. You haven't been here since the 4s.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god,
I think last time I was here you were like 4-9, huh? I don't know.
I had to do 499 point stuff and some fractions to while I was getting while 500 was still mid cook.
It was percolating.
Guys, this was such a fun chat.
Yeehaw.
We'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.